Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. Now, Liz Truss has just told Keir Starmer that she doesn't support her. She's not behind windfall taxes, which a lot of people, by the way, here in Ireland are exactly the same about it, because, of course, you can't separate sustainable energy from regular fossil fuel energy, so you have to charge everybody those taxes, and the windfall taxes maybe don't make a huge amount of sense when it comes to competition in the marketplace. But then again, there is a suggestion, of course, we should go back to a state-run energy provider similar to the ESB, which, according to Richard Boyd Barrett this morning, could cost $15 billion, but hey, we could find money when we needed it for COVID. But of course, the European Commission have now spoken as well. Ursula von der Leyen has said she has a five-step plan. Smart saving of electricity, in other words, using power off-peak only. And she expects member states to comply. You got to love the word comply in there, don't you? It's like a dirty word, isn't it? Proposing a cap on revenue on companies who produce electricity with low costs. Number three is unexpected profits from fossil fuel companies. Same as two member states should use. And addressing energy utility companies to be able to address violation of energy markets liquidity problem, she says. But here is the most interesting thing that she said. And this just went out live about 10 minutes ago. Have a quick listen to this and see, do you, like me, get a little bit of deja vu?
And this is what is expensive, because in these peak demands, the expensive gas comes into the market. So what we have to do is flatten the curve and avoid the peak demands. We will propose a mandatory target for reducing electricity use at peak hours, and we will work very closely with the member states to achieve this.
Where have you heard the phrase flatten the curve before? Am I getting a bit of deja vu? Also, the word mandatory is in there, the way she's used the word comply, and she will be supporting member states if, of course, we are a member state. In other words, the suggestions the government are making may become mandatory. What are we going to see? I have a vision in 6 months' time of Johnny walking down the road. Oh, look! Number five has his lights on. Turn your lights off. Do you not care about the elderly? We'll be shaming each other for using electricity soon. Isn't this shocking? And it's completely unnecessary. There are other ways to fix this problem, but they're not looking beyond that. Households can expect, according to the government, a new electricity credit. Oh, great, 200 quid, that'd be wonderful. To offset on their energy bills before Christmas. That's according to the Environment Minister and Energy Minister, Eamon Ryan. Have you ever heard of the idea of having an energy minister who's a climate activist? It's like having a vegan as the Minister for Agriculture. I mean, yeah, I did steal your joke, Ruth. A vegan as the Minister for Agriculture, or indeed, as John suggested earlier on, maybe Minister for Housing, have it all his own properties. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, really, does it? But anyway, Minister Ryan said he made the remarks as the Cabinet today signs off on plans to limit energy use in the public sector, with temperatures to be set at 19 degrees as appropriate to each public building's use. Now, I can tell you now, the thermostat in this studio currently is set at 21 to 22 degrees. There is one particular presenter who will remain nameless who turns it down to about 20 or 19. And when I come in here, you could hang me up here and store it because it's freezing. I would not be working in 19 degrees. I don't find it comfortable and I wouldn't be doing it. Simple as that. So I can understand if a lot of people in the public sector say, I don't want to work in 19 degrees. What about schools? That's public sector. Do the kids want to sit there in 19 degrees? Some might be okay with it and they wear another coat. I don't know. I wouldn't be okay with it. Anyway, the public sector will be expected to lead by example on energy efficiency in the coming months, Mr. Ryan said, with other proposals including reducing heating of low occupancy spaces, optimising timers and thermostats, and reducing in peak times. Mr. Ryan also said it was the first of a series of memos. Ah, memos. Not mandatory compliance, but memos. And that the government would consider, and said it would have several stages to manage throughout the winter into the next year. Because, of course, the realisation of power cuts like the 70s is back. Mind you, we had the power cuts in the 70s for very different reasons. It was to do with maintenance of the system. Anyway, amongst the other suggestions today by Eamon Ryan and the media in general. And you know, by the way, friends, fellow friends in the media, you're quite shameful. Because you're running along with this as if this is some sort of game. This is not a game. We're playing with people's lives. We have elderly people out there who are terrified facing the winter, being cold and not being able to afford their bills. We've people in general waking up every morning wondering can they afford their electricity and their gas, and the government doing very little about it. And the media are going along with this cutting back business. Anyway, amongst other suggestions today in the media are baiting the kids together. Yeah, we did that in the 70s, didn't we? I thought we'd moved on from that. Teaching children to get used to colder showers. So tell your kids, turn off the, you know, get in there. Oh, it was freezing. Doesn't matter. Watch yourself. Using battery powered lights, eating more cold meals. Older people to wear thermals. That was one suggestion I see in the paper today. Mind you, imagine telling older people, listen, you're freezing, you could die of hypothermia, but you won't if you put on some more thermals there, you'd be grand. We know you can't afford the heating, but you throw on a few thermals there and you'd be fine. I mean, realistically, is this the answer? Maybe you believe it is. Meanwhile, in France, they've capped the energy prices so that people don't take the brunt of the soaring costs. Liz Truss, the new PM in the UK, has already said she will sort and fix out the problem this week. That's what she said last night. This week. And she's probably going to have to follow through because she's the new PM and she's going to have to impress, which will allow them all to follow France and other countries who have capped the cost. France capped the cost at 4%. Now, I know they depend a lot on nuclear fuel, which we probably should be doing. I don't know why people don't talk about that. Meanwhile, the Irish will be thrown another 200 quid, which won't even cover the cost of the extra bills or anywhere close to it. But the question I'm asking you today is, will you be cutting back? Are you going to cut back? Will you be saying to yourself, OK, between 4 and 7? And this is what I don't understand about peak hours, and maybe somebody can explain it to me. If we all don't use our tumble dryers and our washing machines and our cookers and eat cold food between 4 and 7, so you get home from work and you go, right, I'm going to wait 8 o'clock, government said, 4 and 7, peak time. And then all of a sudden we all start using it after 7. Does that then not become the new peak time? Because we're not going to just not do it. So does that just not become the new peak time? Maybe somebody with a degree in energy and electricity can explain all that to me. Anyway, the number is 087-188-0008. I want to know, will you be cutting back? How will you be cutting back? And will you be shaming your neighbour for using electricity? What next? Will we have electricity passports coming soon? You never know. John, you're an Ireland classic kid. How you doing, John?
I'm good, Niall. How are you?
Good. John, well, firstly, John, it says here you have a master's in sustainable energy engineering, right? So you're brighter than me when it comes to this stuff, pardon the pun. So maybe you could explain, if we all stop using energy or reduce our energy usage between 4 and 7 and start cooking after 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, for example, or using our washing machines and dishwashers, surely then that becomes the new peak time.
Absolutely, you're shifting the problem to another hour.
Well, am I right in thinking that, or am I wrong?
Of course, that's just absolute common sense. And I only checked in, sorry, I haven't been following this since you started earlier, so I didn't check in until your researcher phoned. And just as I checked in, I heard you speaking about the conditions in your studio, you know, 21 degrees and coming in sometimes with frozen meat, maybe keep it cold and this type of thing. And I thought maybe it might be an interesting point. There's 1,000 different things I could bring up here and bore your listeners for the rest of the day, but can I just address one here? It's something what we call thermal comfort, and it's what our bodies strive to achieve at all times, that level of thermal comfort.
And we're all a bit different. My mother used to say I was completely a cold creature. I'm a cold creature.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a lot of factors that feed into that. You know, there's a lot of environmental factors, obviously, the actual dry bulb temperature of the air, the wind chill factor. There's a lot of environmental issues which we externally, of course, we've no control over. Internally, we do have massive control over. And the other thing is, the other factors that feed into that are physiological conditions. So your age, your weight, your metabolic rate, dare I say it, your menstrual cycle, or where you are in that time of the month for ladies, a lot of bits and pieces feed into that. So it's a hugely diverse range of inputs that you need to consider to create thermal comfort which suits everybody in the house.
And so yeah, because you can have it set at, say, 20 degrees and everybody feels a little bit different. Yeah, we all accept that heat a bit different, yeah.
And it would be oversimplistic. This is, I mean, I was going to just say turn down the what we call the backstop temperatures, the temperature of your stats in the house. And that's an oversimplistic thing to say. But if I give you a little tiny bit of theory behind it, it might just help listeners to make sense of why that works. And it's a phenomenon called adaptive thermal comfort, which we have as humans. Now, we're obviously capable of adapting to many things. But one of the things we're very capable of adapting to is the temperature and the conditions which provide us with that phenomenon called adaptive thermal comfort. And I suppose an easy example to understand would be, you know, we're after a good spell of hot weather here in Ireland. And if you had a holiday booked, unfortunately, in Spain, where it might be 40 degrees or maybe 38 degrees, and you left Ireland at 25, so you're sitting above in Dublin Airport at 25 degrees and you're mopping the sweat off your brow thinking it's really warm, you come back to the same 25-degree temperature from 40 or 38 degrees in Spain and you're frozen sitting above in Dublin Airport.
Okay, yeah, because you've adapted to the warmer weather, yeah.
Completely. So that's a recognition that our bodies adapt to the conditions that are surrounding us environmentally at that time. So that doesn't happen overnight. We adapt, typically, these are the kind of general figures that are accepted in our trade. You adapt to about a 1 degree every 12 days. So 1 degree, if you turn down the set point temperature in your house, upstairs and downstairs, by 1 degree, the generally accepted savings for a standard oil boiler, and I'm not talking about heat pump or anything like that, I'm talking about a standard oil boiler, which are maybe 86-87% efficient, is about 1.5-2% savings in cost, down to pounds, shillings and pence, basically. So it's considerable. So if you can get, like, the standard FIBSI or the crowd that set those for us, for design engineers now, and the standard set point temperature, we'll say, for a living room is about 21 degrees, maybe 18 for...
Yeah, I have my Nest at home set at 21 degrees.
All of the house?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just one single thermostat. It's one of those Nest ones.
Yeah, okay. So the bedroom will be still 21 degrees.
Well, and I don't know. I imagine, no, the thermostat is in the kitchen. So I imagine it's based on the kitchen.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. You might have stat on the red as well, the TRV or something. But look, whatever it is, if you could turn that down by 3 degrees. Now, that sounds fairly horrendous. Most people
it does sound very horrendous, to be honest with you.
But if you talk about a person coming to Ireland from the Nordic countries, where the ambient temperature there all year round might only be 11, 12 degrees. Ours here is 15 to 18.
See, because I can tell you, there's a DJ that remained nameless in this radio station, Enda Murphy. And Enda comes in here, but he's filling in sometimes in the mornings. And he turns it down to 19 degrees. We have a thermostat here in the studio, right? And we've gone outside as well. And he turns it down to 19. And when I come in, I'm freezing. I said it to him, I said, Jesus, Enda. I said, you could store meat in this studio. It's so cold. So I turn it back up again to 22 to compensate. And I'm okay with 21, but I turn it to 22 to get it heated up a little bit quicker.
Well, you've just increased the cost of heating that studio by an average of 8%.
Right, okay. Don't tell me boss that. He'd be listening.
Well, I'm telling myself. You're what we would call down our place a cold creature. But as my father said one time, would you consider throwing on a vest in you rather than coming up the stairs?
Throwing on a vest. Do you remember your mother used to do that?
Absolutely.
But John, having a master's in sustainable energy, and I get the point that you're making, that we could adapt to, you know, dropping it by 1 degree, as you said, 1 degree every 12 weeks, I think, or 12 days is what you said, right?
Yeah.
But there is a limit to what we can adapt to, I imagine, as well, where it just becomes too cold.
No, not really. No. You can get down to, like, your body obviously needs, well, in Ireland, look, we've evolved.
Well, particularly elderly people, John, I imagine.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you see, like I said earlier, it's down to your metabolic rate as well, which is hugely influential.
Absolutely.
And an old person, simply by their activity level, will have a low metabolic rate. So they don't have the heart rate, they don't have...
They've also less fat on their skin, so of course that doesn't help with their insulation as well.
Yeah, but they're still quite capable of adapting. But it socially is probably not acceptable. You'd have to shift a lot of things before the theory to get people...
Well, here's the thing, right? This is 2022. We live in a very modern world. We're not living in a world where we bath three kids at a time. But generally speaking, unless you want to have a bit of crack and fun with the kids or something like that and throw suds all over them. So we're not living in the tenement houses of the 1960s and 70s where we had to boil water over a fire. You know, thankfully, we live in a modern world. We're all used to it. And the idea of sacrifice now, the idea of reducing our lifestyles to appease what seems to be political decisions, doesn't wash well with people, does it?
I suppose, you know, there's a divide there between what you consider your entitlements and your rights and to what you have to do to cut your cloth, basically. You know, we as a nation, especially the younger generation, have a load of stuff in their head that they're calling entitlements. There's no mention of the other side of the coin, which is responsibility. It's just an entitlement-based society that we have.
Yeah, but you can't build a world, John, over, you know, with material objects, or be it electricity, or be it gadgets or electronics, and then say to people, we're taking them away again. Because that's not the way the world works, and that's not the way we've never been used to that sort of stuff before.
We've just never been used to it. But that's not to say it's not a natural thing to happen.
Why should we accept it? when it's unnecessary?
Because you simply won't be able to afford it. Stop yourself.
Let's get to the crux of that, okay? So when you say we simply couldn't afford it, we can afford it. It all comes down to money. Money is just numbers. We're well aware of that.
Then why are we cribbing if we can afford it?
The point is, the government could afford it if they wanted it. They could do what France is doing currently at the moment in cap prices if they wanted to. It would probably cost about $2.5 billion per year to basically cap the price at probably 2 or 3% on increases per year. But if it has to be done, it has to be done. We could pull money out of the hat for COVID. We could pull money out of the hat for immigration. We could pull money out of the hat for all sorts of things, to help refugees, which we should be doing. But we could pull money out of the hat for all sorts of things. So why can't we pull money out of the hat for this? And in turn, not only are we saving people money and businesses money, but it also keeps the cost of living down. Because, of course, the more it costs to produce goods for electricity and energy, the more the retailer has to charge, the more the consumer has to pay. So it keeps the cost of living down as well. There's a win-win in it. Instead, we're looking at the alternative.
Unfortunately, that HET that you're talking about has another name. It's called taxpayers' pockets. We don't have a HET here that generates automatic revenue every year. We're on 44, 45% marginal tax rate now at the minute. And look, I was in Budapest lately and there was a guy walking there and he told me his wages in Ireland 6 years ago was €600 a week. He's now on €600 a month driving a shuttle bus. And he's everything price-wise there is prorated.
That's unacceptable. But that's unacceptable. You know, and to allow our lifestyles to be damaged in such a way that we work hard, you work hard, John, I work hard, we all work hard. We deserve to have a reasonable life and balance of life of work and, you know, having a nice holiday in the year, driving a reasonably priced car, living in a reasonable home. We deserve that as human beings. And to suggest for a minute that we don't deserve that or that could be taken away from us or we should have to pay more to get that at this point in our lives is ridiculous. When there are other ways around it.
We deserve, in our heads, we deserve. Just think of what we are here. We're a species sitting on a rock, travelling around a star, and if something bumps off it, it's all over. That's the simplistic version of what we're talking about in terms of what we're entitled to. We're entitled, as humans, to nothing other than what we provide for ourselves. I mean, tell the Ukrainian people, a lovely race of glamorous people, that they're entitled to peace. They are entitled to peace. Of course they are, but they're not getting it because look what we're doing
to help them to have that entitlement to peace. You know, the EU are funding, we're providing weapons, we're helping refugees, we're doing everything we possibly can with the exception of getting involved in the war because they're not in a NATO country. So we're doing everything we possibly can with sanctions on Russia, some of which I agree with, some of which I don't agree with, but with sanctions we're doing everything we possibly can because they are entitled to peace.
Too little, too late, Niall. When you speak about the provision of weapons, to me, is automatically suggesting failure. When you're starting to provide weapons to fix a solution, the politics have failed.
But when you say the politics have failed, we have no control over a dictator.
No, I get that. We have no control, but yet we're quite willing now to provide weapons to defend them. And I know, theoretically, we want to defend them, and we have this Western side story here that Putin is all sorts of bad. And that's
getting away from
energy bills here, and there's people price gouging, and we really do find ourselves where we find ourselves. And like the whole reason we're on this, or I'm on this call now, is to suggest how people can deal with that. Like, we've no control over price. There's two ways you can cut costs. One is to cut the price of it, and the other side of it is to cut the demand, the consumption of it. We have zero in Ireland, no control over price.
But as well as...
I would suggest that Europe... as a whole, doesn't have control.
Okay, but as well as what's happened in Ukraine, which has certainly compounded the energy crisis started long before the war in Ukraine. We know that. I mean, a lot of that started going back many, many years ago, and I don't want to go over old ground again because I've spoken about it.
I don't have a knowledge of it.
Well, a lot of it's to do with, you know, policies that we've brought in throughout Europe in relation to climate change, where investors are now not investing in refineries, etc. So there's no problem getting the oil, it's refining it and bringing it to the market. That's the cost factor involved. The Chinese and the Indians, they don't care. They don't care about climate change, and they've no problem with it. They've no energy crisis there at the moment because they're, you know, you could walk out into Iraq with a bucket and spade, as I said before, and find some oil, and they're quite happy to take it, and they're quite happy to take Russian oil, and they're building refineries like they're going out of fashion, and coal burning plants like they're going out of fashion. For the moment, if we're in a crisis, and I know you're into sustainable energy, and I appreciate that, and going forward, I think everybody should believe in sustainable energy, right? But at this moment, in this juncture on this planet where we have a problem, not just a political problem. We have a war going on. We have all sorts of things going on. We have little problems with currencies as well and the cost of buying the oil, etc., etc. Should we not be just saying, well, let's use those coal-burning plants for the moment to produce an extra few, you know, megawatts or kilowatts or whatever the hell it is they produce? Should we not be just, we have a power plant sitting on a bog that we don't even use. Should we not be just using them or talking about nuclear fuel? Should we not be talking about nuclear fuel?
Well, nuclear fuel maybe, but not. It took us too long to get over the inertia of getting into the mindset of having renewable energy. That took too long.
But it's no use if we've nothing to replace it with. It's all well and good saying don't use oil, don't use gas, and that's great. And it's all well and good to say that. But when you've nothing to replace it with at this moment in time, and we don't have enough, I mean, in the future, yes, but at this moment, right now, we don't have enough to replace it with, clearly. So surely we should say to ourselves, well, let's not cut off our nose to spite our face.
If you're not willing, if people are not saying you now, but and I know you just speak for listeners, but if people are not willing to look at the two sides of the story here, one is that, you know, this thing, the government have an obligation to look after me because I have a right to have 21 degrees inside my office, inside my apartment, inside my home the whole time. If that's not addressed with people within their own psyche, if people genuinely believe, you see young lads have a right to €250 worth of pair of Nike shoes going to school, I have a right to the bus to collect me, I have a right to get social welfare, I have a right.
But you do have a right to a lot of those things you've just
mentioned. You absolutely don't have a right.
I don't know about the Nike shoes, but you certainly have a right. You have a right to social welfare. You have a right
to it. You don't have a right to it. You're very fortunate to live in a state that you're provided with, but you don't have an absolute right to it.
Hold on. There's men fought in this country for our rights and for the
Constitution. Absolutely,
this
but you must remember there's some guy next door to you getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pay for it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely, and I understand that.
So once you recognise that, it's still not a right.
Oh, no. As long as you don't abuse it, I believe you have a right to it. You have a right to education. You have a right to work, if indeed there's jobs available. You have a right to all those things. You also have an obligation and a civic duty to pay your taxes, but you have a right and a civic duty to take part in society. But, I mean, if you're turning around telling me we don't have a right to all those things, well, then we've just lost, haven't we? Might as well just throw in the towel.
Yeah, by virtue of the fact that we have a civilised society, I don't call it a right. I think that's too strong a word. I think we're blessed and we're privileged to have it. Absolutely, we're privileged to have it. But to grow our kids, to rear our kids and let them believe that you have a right to all these things is setting them up for a fall at some stage. And we're seeing the start of that little fall now. We're only talking about energy prices. There's none of us freezing cold and dying of hypothermia, let's face it. Mm. And it's a thing on radio. I mean, national radio is a valuable place, a valuable platform to have. So it must mean something if you're discussing it. But to instill in people's minds that you have a right to this 21 degrees and find any other solution to fix it other than lowering your temperature is oversimplistic and dangerous, I think, in the long term. And if people are actually thinking about going back burning fossil fuels again, creating a longer, more serious term problem to a short term solution, they really aren't reading the other side of the book. It's like you get a pamphlet there from the state. One half is written in Irish and the other half is written in English. We're reading the English side of it, but we're not turning over to the more complicated, more nuanced side to just recognise what the bigger picture is.
All right. Well, look, on that note, John, I'm running out of time and I appreciate you coming on the air. Yeah. Thank you very much for the conversation. It's been an interesting one.
Listen, you're more than welcome.
Thank you. Caroline, you're in Ireland's Classic Kiss. Just before the break, I want to go to Caroline too. Caroline.
Hi, Niall. How are you doing?
Okay, so you've heard what John has to say. He doesn't believe that we have a right to all these things. You know, obviously the government are suggesting loads of things. You just heard Ursula von der Leyen, who's president of the European Commission, suggest there will be mandatory cuts when it comes to using energy, reductions in energy between 5 and 7 o'clock in the evening going into the winter time. Will you be cutting back?
No, I think, look, this thing, we're in a crisis and we have to think outside the box here. Now, instead of the government giving everybody £200 for the next payment that's due in wintertime or whatever, very simply, they gave every household the low energy bulbs, energy saving light bulbs. They're expensive to buy initially, they last longer and they save power.
LED bulbs? Well, they don't use the energy saving ones, the LED ones now, yeah.
Yeah, and you have energy ones as well, energy saving ones.
I wonder, Caroline, do many people still have the old bulbs in their houses? Would you have many of the old type bulbs, filament type bulbs?
I definitely have some of the old ones, and I have a few of the energy saving ones, not as many as I should have, possibly. But there's another thing too called a smart strip. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's something to plug, several devices in. It's like you know, the adapters that you could have maybe four or five.
A plug board, yeah, like a plug board, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these smart strips apparently have the technology to realize when an appliance isn't being used. And instead of it on standby, it turns it off altogether.
Okay, that's clever enough, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are things like that where, you know, we could be saving money.
Okay, so we could play a little bit of a role in it as well, but you also believe the government should play a bigger role in this.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I heard Dan said and about fossil fuels and everything, but the reality of it is, until the war in Ukraine is over and whatever the outcome of that is, you know, gas, oil, everything, nobody knows what's going to happen. We have power stations that will burn peat. So if you put a three-year program in place where, okay, we are going to take a step backwards as such and use these power...
Yeah, just put the climate policy. I'm not suggesting we abandon it, but put it on hold. It's not going to make a huge difference to the longevity of the planet to put it on hold just for a couple of years. We've been here for, what is it, 8 million years or 8 billion years. I doubt it's going to make a huge difference to do it for an extra few years.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, that it would be, I suppose, a quick fix. I know Eamon Ryan would, you know, have a breakdown if he thought that this was going to happen. But, you know...
Well, I don't get the idea of having an energy minister who is a climate activist. As I said already, or as Ruth said earlier on to me, it's like having a vegan as Minister for Agriculture. It just doesn't make a huge amount of sense to me. But that, look, people voted for him and that's what they want.
And Ursula von Leyen's comment on flattening the curve, that brought it all back to the COVID times that we lived through. And I just thought, well, you know, they did bring in the special doctors to look after our needs during COVID to put certain policies in place. Well, maybe instead of having the ministers that we have, there should be environmentalists brought in the same capacity that, you know, are non-government affiliated who could make policies in the short term that would benefit everybody.
I don't. The only thing I don't like about what Ursula, I'm not a big fan of Ursula von der Leyen, to be honest with you, the greatest of times, but this idea of A, using the term flatten the curve, I think that kind of makes people shudder a little bit. But using words like mandatory, so she said she's going to be reducing peak energy, will be mandatory for all member states. And then she uses it in her five-step plan, smart saving of electricity, in other words, using power off-peak only, and she expects member states to comply. To use words like comply and mandatory, I think we're heading down a very rocky road.
Well, put it like this. Let's say, God forbid, you've been in a coma for the last 2 years and you woke up this morning and you're hearing this comply, mandatory to use power outside of peak hours and this. You would be forgiven for thinking that maybe perhaps we'd all of a sudden be living in a communist state.
You would, and George Orwell was alive and well.
Yeah.
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, Caroline. Okay, Caroline mentioned the smart strip there. And also, good idea, by the way, if you have a few quid spare, change all your bulbs to energy saving or, well, LED, which is mainly what there's around now. The energy saving bulbs seem to be vanishing out off the shelves. It's the LED bulbs, which are, instead of having a 60 watt bulb, you have a 5 watt bulb because it's LED and gives you exactly the same light and uses only a tenth of the electricity. Save you a lot of money in the long term, although lighting is not the one thing that uses a lot of electricity anyway. The number is 087-188-0008. Will there be lights at Christmas? Who knows? Will you be making sacrifices? So mention as well, just to reiterate on that, if you are looking for a new career, by the way, or, you know, you're just looking for a job, there'll be some great employers at the Job Expo. If you're hanging around Galway or you're visiting the area on the 17th of September, it's in Leisureland. And the good thing about it is it's free. Absolutely free. You don't have to pay. But you must register. So if you want to register, go to jobsexpo.ie. Get yourself a free ticket there for you and a buddy, whatever it is. And head on down because it's heading to the west of Ireland. It's a great expo, by the way. The one in Galway or in Dublin was amazing. Lots of employers there giving you some ideas if you're thinking of changing your career or whatever it happens to be. 17th of September, Leisureland in Galway. All right, go to jobsexpo.ie and you can register yourself for a free ticket. Anything that's free is good, isn't it? Paul, you're an Ireland's classic kid. How you doing, Paul? Electricity's not free, that's for sure. Paul, will you be making sacrifices?
No, we won't, actually. I mean, look, budget willing, I won't, but I have absolutely no plans to do so. And I think that Eamon Ryan's suggestion that we do these ridiculous, archaic measures are a bit tone-deaf, actually, coming from him. I mean, before he was in power at the start of the pandemic, people laughed at him in the Dáil. He was, they felt the same close salads on every southern bloody windowsill.
And we also laughed when he fell asleep at once.
He's a climate zealot. And by the way, I completely accept that there is an issue. There's a global issue with climate change. I know that's a fact. I'm not denying it in the slightest. But I think that Ireland's idea that us making, like, by not cooking between, what do you say, four and seven,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, the analogy...
Well, it's not Ireland's idea. I mean, you've got Ursula von der Leyen there, the president of the European Commission, saying exactly the same thing. And not only is she saying it, she's saying it's going to be mandatory.
Fine. But here's the thing. It's like trying to bail water out of the Titanic with a teaspoon. As long as China and India are polluting at the rate they're polluting, nothing we do will make a difference. Like, imagine this. Everyone goes, oh, Jesus Christ, the world was saved from cataclysm because Biddy and Roscommon cooked their dinner before 4. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But here's the thing, Paul. The cost of energy at the moment. Now, I know other countries are addressing it and I know Liz Truss has just announced a price freeze because obviously she's promising the British people that she will deal with the cost of living and the energy crisis. France have just put in a price cap as well, no more than 4% increase based on last year's prices. So other countries are doing things. We're not. We're just flinging 200 quid at people every now and again, once this year so far, actually, maybe once before Christmas. That's not really going to help people. So, Paul, if you don't cut back, the problem is... You know, and if we don't surrender or give in to the government, and many people believe they're incompetent in dealing with this, that you're just going to have to pay more money for your gas and electricity or oil or whatever happens to be.
Is that not always the solution for us? The Irish public just have to row harder every time.
Well, that seems to be what's happening. That's what's happening, isn't it?
That is what happens.
I'm not the maker of their destiny. They're the ones sitting there listening to the radio and doing nothing about it. So.
Well, the other thing is, though, now, why are we having these energy costs? It's three things, I would say. Brexit, the fact that we shut our economy down for 2 years. I don't think we'll ever try that again. I mean, I'd like to think we will never try that again, you know? And then obviously...
Paul, you're saying I don't think we'll ever try that again. But when you hear, you know, Europe today, and I'll just play that bit of audio again just in case you missed it. Hang on, this is Ursula, what she said today. Hang on.
And this is what is expensive, because in these peak demands... The expensive gas comes into the market. So what we have to do is flatten the curve and avoid the peak demands. We will propose a mandatory target for reducing electricity use at peak hours, and we will work very closely with the member states to achieve this.
Hey, where did you hear that word before, flatten the curve?
We're very carefully selected, by the way. Yeah. Very carefully written into it.
And mandatory.
You know how most of it is.
But also she used the words there between reducing usage between 4 and 7 peak times, mandatory across Europe.
Yeah.
When you're saying we're not going to close the country down again, we are going to implement restrictions again.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think like, why have we done this? I think that obviously we're helping Ukraine and that's very important and I completely agree with that. But I think there's maybe a sort of a tacit recognition that maybe we overplayed this one with all the oil sanctions because we're actually affecting ourselves. And it's like Ursula von der Leyen doesn't want to admit that and is now kind of turning it back on us. But you guys have to pick up the pieces of that one. We messed up that one kind of, you know. Guy, I think that in hindsight they wouldn't have gone so archaic. And obviously there needs to be sanctions on Russia, but not sanctions that are going to absolutely backfire on all of us.
Would you mean cutting? No, we shouldn't be cutting our nose off to spite our face, is what you're saying, essentially.
Absolutely, but it's very nice. There are things we can do. But in the context, I take the context, we just come out of a pandemic where we shut every economy down for 2 years and Brexit has happened and all this kind of stuff. Could we not have just been a little bit more selective in how we implemented sanctions on Russia rather than saying, you know, we're going to literally starve ourselves to starve you, you know?
Yeah, well, no, I understand that and I couldn't agree with you more, actually, in relation to sanctions. Some I agree with, some I completely disagree with. As you rightly said, we do cut our nose off to spite our face. Not that I don't feel sorry for, obviously, the people of Ukraine. Of course I do. But yes, we have to do what we need to do. So Paul is willing to pay the extra. He's not willing to make those sacrifices because he believes, unlike John, who was on the start of the show, he does have some level of a right to having energy and having the lifestyle that he has. Padraig, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Padraig?
Greetings, my old Shagosha.
How are you, Padraig?
Not too bad. Greetings, all left-wing traitors now.
Right, Padraig, will you be making sacrifices?
Oh, it's like the Elton John song, Sacrifice Big Time, Niall, yeah?
Will you be cutting back, yeah?
We're making such a sacrifice that we've decided our mother-in-law is moving in with us.
Right. Are you joking me?
Into the scratcher. It's no point in having two bills and two houses, is there? Two electric bills, two gas bills. So, God love her, she's 87, but she's going to be in the middle.
She's 87. It's a good idea to move her in anyway, isn't it?
We'll have a 15-year-old and a 25-year-old. It's all in one bed like the old days, heads and tails now. Do you remember that? Heads and tails?
You smelly feet in your face.
No. We shower very regularly. But listen...
You're having a cold shower and not a hot one, by the way.
Niall, isn't it terrible that the woke generation, I'll include us in this, well, we're still hanging in there, that a bit of hardship has come our way. Now, the elephant in the room here, Niall, is... the West, per se, should have minded their own business. As in, if you poke a bear too much, it's going to react, i.e. Russia. Now, I don't claim to be a historian on the conflict there and on the ex-Soviet Union, but I'm sure I intend to educate myself on the matter. I think there's more than this than meets the eye, and the West have decided that the Russia is the bad boy.
And they've invaded a country.
Hold on a second now.
I don't want to get into that today. That's not what we're talking about today. The war in Ukraine has had some influence, certainly, and compounded the issues we have around energy. I'm just focusing on the one question today, and that is, will you be making cutbacks?
I've just told you the cutbacks I'll be making, privacy and the scratcher. Now, you say this is not related. What are you talking about?
No, wait, hang on. I didn't say it wasn't related. I said, of course, the war in Ukraine has compounded the issues that we have around the energy crisis. Absolutely.
Nothing to do with it. And the West has shot themselves in the foot. And they have no sympathy. They're all against Russia. And now they're crying because they can't. The bills have grown exponentially. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Niall, this is self-inflicted.
Okay, all right. Self-inflicted, according to Patrick, but he... We'll be making some cutbacks, although I think he's been cynical. The number is 087-188-0008. Eddie, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
Good, Niall. How are you?
Good, Eddie.
I just this whole blaming other countries has to stop. I mean, China are aiming to go net zero by 2060. They're putting in more solar powers, more wind farms, more everything than us. And the same with India. And, you know, as Europeans, we've been polluting the world since the early 1800s with the Industrial Revolution. So this whole thing is like, well, just because they do it, we won't do it kind of thing. It kind of has to stop. It's a bit stupid, really, isn't it?
I don't get what you mean. China are building coal power plants like they're going out of fashion. But they're also building refineries as well.
But no, they're also, by 2060, they'll be completely carbon neutral. They're building solar panels to be at the bone. They're beating wind farms to be at the bone. I mean, China is...
They're bigger polluters than we are.
Yeah, but China's only been polluting the earth for the last 50 years. We've been doing it for the last 300, 400.
Well, that's only because their economy has only been the way it is for the last 50 years, and we've been buying goods, obviously, because of travel and because of, you know, the availability of travel and I suppose, couriers and everything else, that we buy a lot of stuff now from China, which we wouldn't have 60 years ago. That's the only reason that China's economy is booming. But, I mean, and the only reason they're polluting for the last 50 or 60 years, and they will continue to pollute. I don't believe for a minute China will be net zero by 2050.
But if that's the case, and I mean, you know that the oil is non-renewable. You know the coal is non-renewable. So at some point, the world runs out. So when do you want the world to run out in your lifetime? When do you say we're going to stop pulling oil out of the ground? And I'm not totally anti-against oil or anything, but what I'm saying is the reality you have to live in is that one day the tap will run dry. So do we want to...
That's scientific opinion. There are many scientists or other people... who have examined that, who said that's not the case at all, that it will continue to be available.
No, think about the planet. How big is the planet? How much oil can it hold? So at some point, you have to say that it could run out.
Okay. Let's say it does. And I'm not arguing about the fact that we need to look to the future to look to at different forms of energy. I'm not arguing for that at all. But at this very juncture, at this moment in our history, right, for the next couple of years until we get through this particular crisis, which I believe is not only an energy crisis, it's a political crisis, how are we going to deal with it? Should the people have to suffer, whereby their lifestyles suffer by paying more money for energy, and also they have to cut back by, you know, bathing kids together, having cold showers, and having cold meals between 4 and 7? So should our lifestyles have to change that much? Should we have to sacrifice that much?
So, Niall, if you look at the history of state, we've been in crisis ever since we've become a state. And we'll always be in crisis.
I don't believe it.
There'll always be another crisis.
Different. They don't affect everybody.
Honestly, what is the big deal? If everyone just made a conscious decision to maybe not cook between those times, to maybe put their washing on at night when it's cheaper.
Okay, you seem to know about it. So answer me one question, right? So all day long they've been saying, the government has been talking about the cabinet meeting today, they're suggesting this as well, that, and obviously Ursula van der Leyen saying it's going to be mandatory to reduce energy between 4 and 7, right? So 4 and 7 is peak time. So I come home from work, I don't cook. I say, right, I'll wait till 8 o'clock and I'll have me dinner then. That'd be grand. I'll put the beef in the onion, in the oven then. I'll throw the clothes into the wash after that. So does that not then become the new peak time? If everybody's doing that.
But you see, the whole point is that not everyone will do it. What you're trying to do is you're trying to remove a certain amount of people. Like, we know, it's like telling people not to smoke. You can show them all the evidence you want, but people will still continue to smoke.
If we as a nation and as Europe are making it mandatory and telling everybody, obviously a few people will break the rules, of course they will, but you're telling people not to cook, not to wash, not to do laundry or put on your spin dryer between 4 and 7. Are you telling me at 8 o'clock they won't all switch them on? Or 7, half past 7, they won't all switch them on? Of course they will.
What I'm saying is, if you don't think that everyone, by making one small change, won't help the planet, well then, surely you're in denial. I mean, you're...
No, I'm not in denial, Eddie. Eddie, I'm not in denial. You're the one...
Niall.
I'm not in denial. You're the one who's rolling over and just plain, I'll do everything that's needed of me. That's
come
it.
Come on. But you could say that about paying taxes. You could say that about buying
No, we have
taxes.
A civic duty
come
to
on,
pay taxes.
You're rolling over for the government. Because
no.
At the end of the day...
No, I get something back for my taxes. I get the roads. I get the energy companies. I get the roads. I get something back for my taxes. I get safety. I get a health service, although that's a mess. But I get something back for my taxes. So I don't mind paying taxes. People don't mind paying taxes. It's a civic duty. Well, most people don't, anyway.
Agreed. But by making small changes, you get to swim in the rivers. We get to have clean seas. We get to have climate that isn't all over the place. We get to have rain when we're supposed to have rain and summers when we're supposed to have summers. I mean, you don't have to do anything. It's your children and their children that will suffer. That's the whole point. But we can all make small changes now. And through history, we've all made small changes. We don't kill whales for oil anymore, but no one seems to care.
All right, listen, I have to go into break. Eddie, thank you for coming on the air. I appreciate it. Eddie is willing to make those small sacrifices, and he believes that we have to, for the future, make those small sacrifices. I want to know, are you going to make those sacrifices?
Hi, Niall. This absolutely breaks my heart. The elderly who have worked so hard all their lives are now living in fear because of these power cuts that were promised all over the winter. Because of these yokes with their big salaries and absolutely no common sense telling us what to do. Wear an extra layer of clothes. Should they're doing that anyway? It's absolutely terrible. When are the Irish people going to stand up and say enough is enough?
You're right. When?
Hi there, Niall. It's Pierre here from Cork. Originally from South Africa. I'm loving the show, loving listening to the opinions and the varied opinions that people have. I think, like you say, we are heading down a slippery slope. It is the terms mandatory and things like that do kind of reek of the C word. But from where we come from, we've been through this already, where the state in South Africa only have one energy supplier. Independent energy suppliers are not allowed to put back into the grid or anything like that. We've been through a thing called load shedding, which is where the energy supplier singular is not able to generate enough electricity because obviously they're selling to other countries to obviously keep themselves funded and fed and CEOs with big bank balances. Anyway, that's my opinion. But we've been through it where up to 6 hours a day there is no electricity, no traffic lights. You are allowed generating to a point of petrol and diesel fired generators, things for like hospitals, shopping centers, things like that. But I really think that at least in Ireland, you know, we're getting those energy supplements and things like that. But I do think that we are heading for a bit of a fall here. And yes, I think it is about profiteering, as we've seen where we come from. Great show, enjoying it. Thank you so much. All the best.
There you go, he's got a good point. Imagine if the electricity was to go for 6 hours a day, for God's sake. And the other thing as well is, and he makes a really good point, and I think he made it at the start of what he said there in relation to people's opinions, etc., etc. And some people have the opinion that we should sacrifice a little bit and all that kind of carry on. But the problem when you do that is when you give in to some degree or you sacrifice a little bit, then more is expected of you. And we've seen that during COVID. the more you're willing to do, and governments see it, they're not stupid. Well, yeah, if they'll do that, sure, they'll do 10K, they'll do 5K. If they'll accept us turning off the electricity for an hour, sure, what difference would 2 hours make? You know, we just tell them it's for their good, the better, you know, we could save more and we tell them it's a good thing. So the more you accept, the more they will do. There is a point. We are citizens. We have a government. We elected them, their representatives. But as somebody rightly said earlier on, Eamon Ryan, Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, the famous three, are they sacrificing? Are they? Do you think that Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan won't be cooking or using their energy between 4 and 7? Do you think they'll lead by example? If we look around the world at the people who constantly promote climate change, who constantly promote all those things, most of them are all hypocrites. Hypocrites. A lot of them. So the very idea is that governments won't implement taxes on private jets just goes to show you how much of a hypocrite they all are. I mean, realistically, they don't lead by example. And they have much bigger salaries, so those energy bills don't really affect them as much. They affect you. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me just finally go to Rita on this before I move on. Rita, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Rita?
Hello, how are you?
Nice to talk to you, Rita. Now, you're a widow.
I'm a widow.
When did your husband die?
I've been disabled for the past 20 years. I'm a widow 8 years.
And
so I can't decide to cut my electricity between 4 and 7. I'm told what time I eat my dinner. I have carers come in to me. My carer comes before to the 6. That's the time I have to eat my dinner. I don't have a choice.
So you can't cut back.
I eat what I'm told to eat. You know, now I love my carers. They're great. But these people who talk and talk and talk and sit down then and eat their big dinners at whatever time they want to eat it. You know,
yeah.
It's the forgotten people, widows, disabled people like myself, who are depending on other people to come in, cook them a bit of grub, wash up after them, do their washing once a week at whatever time it suits the carer, not the government.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think, with the greatest respect, I don't think you'll be expected to cut back, Rita. I hope you would never be expected to cut back.
I've already cut back on my shopping.
Have you?
And I say this now to you, and I would like the whole country out there to know, done stores I would give my life for. My groceries are delivered every Saturday, free of charge, from Limerick out to my house in County Clare. So, every single Saturday from Dunn Stores.
All right, a big shout out to all the staff of Dunn Stores who look after Rita so well.
All Dunn Stores and Howley's Quay, Amanda, Antoinette, Megan, every one of them.
I'm sure they're delighted they got a mention of you
today. I love listening to your show. I think it's very straight and it's brilliant.
I'm glad you listen.
And I would also like to say now a great thank you to my best friend and neighbour, Anne O'Driscoll, who without, I don't think I'd be able to stay at home. I'd be in a nursing home, only for the help she gives me.
Well, I'm glad you're at home. And I'm glad you're at home.
Oh, I'm glad to be at home. 2.5 years ago, I lost my son, and I spent 6 weeks in nursing home after breaking my leg. And was I glad to get home to my own house.
I'd say you were.
I'm in a three-bedroom house. It's a dormer bungalow. I live on the ground floor. I don't turn on lights upstairs. I don't turn on my heating upstairs. Why should I? For who? Well, it's just me and me. So my sit-down kitchen. And then I go from there into my bedroom. So I'm on the ground floor the whole time. I have 3 carers. I have 1 Monday to Friday, 10 to 11. Then I have Lisa, 4 to 6, 4 to 7. And then the weekend, I had my black girl that she beat for 4 hours. That was brilliant.
And tell me, Rita, I mean, have you noticed a difference in your bills now? Have you noticed the cost of living?
In the shopping, yeah. In the shopping.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for my next light bill. I'm on oxygen 24/7, so my oxygen tank is fairly heavy.
I'm assuming you get help from the government in relation to the cost because you're on oxygen.
But I've never looked for it because nobody's ever guided me in that direction.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
And did you get your last electricity bill? Was it more expensive than the one before? I imagine it was.
Well, my last electricity bill was, with the money they took off, was 138 euros.
Okay. And that was it, that was including the 200 they took off it, yeah.
Yeah, living alone, that was the last.
Yeah.
You know, my bill used to be between 60 and 75.
And so, and what about your heating? How are you heating your home?
I have my aisle. I take my fuel allowance in two lump sums. So the minute I get my fuel allowance money, it goes straight into my aisle company. And they come out then.
Fill your tank.
That amount of aisle.
Yeah. And is that enough then for that? Will that last you then the two times for the 6 months each time?
Because yeah. I'm careful with the hours. I'm like you now. I like 19 to 20 degrees.
Are you a cold creature too, Rita, yeah?
Well, I'm fast blood, so 19 degrees is plenty for me now.
All right, okay.
But, like I said, Tower Isle are brilliant, my Isle company.
Yeah.
They're brilliant to me.
Jase, you're giving them all a good mention today, aren't you, yeah?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm glad of the people I have around me. I'm so thankful to them all, like, you know.
How old are you? Sorry, Rita, is it okay to ask you how old you are?
75.
75. And
75.
What, and who did you vote for in the last election?
Sinn Féin.
Did you? Did you? And what do you think of the job the government are doing at the moment? Without using bad language.
Do you know what I say to what the government? They have to do what they're doing, no matter who's there, it's going to be done.
Well,
it's Neil Martin or Mary Lou. It has to be done. Things have to be paid. Mm. You know, things have to be done. We have to cut down, all right, we'll cut down. But all this bull of these people saying, well, they should do between 4 and 7. It's easy for them to talk. But they're going to do it. They won't. They'll be having the dinner parties at 8 o'clock. You know, so
yeah, you've no choice. I mean, that's when your carer comes between 4 and 7 o'clock. Yeah.
I mean, she comes at 6:15. She's got it at 6:45. I'm in bed at 6:45 every night then.
Yeah, well, I would hate to think that Eamon Ryan would expect you to cut back between 4 and 7.
Well, if Eamon Ryan cuts back, he can come out and cut his throat.
unless he wants to come and cook your dinner.
I have no problem cutting his throat. I can't stand the man.
I can't stand
the man.
Right. Okay.
You know, but, you know, it's a funny time we're in. And all right, they're doing great, getting these people into the country. But they still must look around. There's homeless people in the streets of Limerick. There's homeless people on the streets of Dublin.
Yeah.
They're not getting put into tents. They're not getting put into the barracks, you know. They're still homeless. They're still homeless. And they're cold. And they're hungry.
And by the way, I hope you never go cold and hungry, do you?
No, thank God. I've never gone cold and never gone hungry.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Good. My dad worked hard. We didn't have a lot, but we were tops and toes in bed. And we had plenty of heavy clothes down on top of us. A great childhood, a great marriage. So I'm very lucky.
What was your husband's name?
Comes.
What was your husband's name, Rita?
My husband was John.
And John died 8 years ago, you say.
He'd been dead 8 years this Christmas.
He wouldn't have been that old. How did he die?
John was
68. 68, yeah.
My son came back to live with me, and my son died 2.5 years
ago. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. They both died at home yet. I saw my son. Went into the room, my son was dead. So I moved into his room, then I came down from upstairs. Because of my disability, I got a hospital bed. So it's grand, the hospital bed is grand. And actually, the oxygen, I'm used to it. But if there's a power cut, I'm in the shit, like.
you are in the shit, to use your own words.
My bed goes out, I've been in my bed up high so I can see my television. But if there's a power cut, I'm upstairs and I'm looking down on the floor. How am I going to get back down there now? So I'm stuck. So I've got to be very careful these nights.
And do you get out of the bed much at all, Rita?
Oh, I do. I'm up every morning.
Okay. And would you go for a little walk or can you go for a little walk?
Well, I have a four-wheeler.
Okay.
Rollator. So I walk up and down my sitting room and my kitchen.
Right, okay.
But I'm very careful because it's all very easy.
And can you get out the door at all to go for a little walk?
No, I can't get out the door.
Okay. Do the carers ever help you to get outside?
No.
Do the carers ever help you to get outside?
No, they don't. My friend does, Anne.
Okay, well done to Anne.
And I have a bar outside my hall door. I have a very high step at my front door. If anybody out there is willing to put a little ramp outside my hall door, I'd be very thankful because my step is too high. And even when I go in an ambulance, it doesn't believe it.
So what you're looking for is, and it's somebody obviously in Limerick. What part of Limerick are you in?
I'm in Meadick. I'm about 2 miles outside Limerick.
Okay. If anybody is in the area and is willing to maybe put in a little bit of a concrete ramp or something like that from her step, because it's a little bit high and she can't get out, and is willing to do it for her, she'd be very grateful. And if anybody can do that, by the way, you can contact us here, 087-188-0008. You can text or WhatsApp.
Oh, have a number of that.
Yeah, no, I'll see if I can get somebody. We'll see if we can get someone to do it for you.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yeah, we'll try our best.
That would be lovely now. Yeah. I'm from Tintin.
Yeah.
Because I don't get anything easy for nothing.
No.
I pay for everything I need. Even my garden last week, that's 190.
Well, look, you're an amazing woman, Rita.
So people tell me that, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're a wonderful woman.
And a tough one, child. But, you know, God is good at the end of the day.
You've had a tough few years.
A lousy 8 years, yeah.
And do you watch telly all day, is that what you do?
No, I listen to the radio all day and I watch telly all night.
Right, okay. What's your favourite programme on telly?
Your programme Monday.
Oh, yeah.
I was so sick of Radio Limerick in the sport. I went around my radio and I just managed, and you were playing some kind of 60s music and I haven't turned it off since. I go into bed, it's on the night when I go to bed, it's on the morning when I get up.
Right.
Never turned off. Him and I wouldn't like that now.
Yeah, he wouldn't like that. But I don't care what Eamon Ryan thinks of what you're doing, Rita, to be honest with you. Rita, it's been lovely talking to you, right? And if I get any news at all on somebody who can help you. So the area you're living in, you're 2 miles outside Limerick, or is that what you said?
Yeah, Elton Court in Meadick.
Okay, all right.
Well, no, number 13.
You don't even need to give us your door number, but that's grand. So listen, if anyone wants to help, thank you, Rita. See you, Rita. Have a great day.
Thank
all right.
You. Bye.
See you, Rita. Bye-bye. What a lovely woman, huh? But she's had such a hard time. Doesn't really get to get, you know, out of the house at all. And she'd like to be able to get out on our little four-wheeler. Obviously, you know the four-wheeler thing that you hold on to. But she can't because the step's too high. So if there's anybody listening, you heard where she lives. I'm not familiar with the area myself, but you will know if you're from Limerick, you'll know where she lives. If there's anybody that could kind of build her a ramp, I'm assuming like a concrete ramp. I don't think you'd need planning permission for it, would you? You know, just to, extend it out about 5 or 6 foot. You know, a kind of long ramp that would have a nice gradient that she could be able to walk down and off her high step. If there's anybody willing to do that for us, maybe you're a builder listening or you're somebody who's kind of good with your hands. All right, could do it. Please contact us. The WhatsApp number is 087-188-0008 and Ruth will get in contact with you and we'll put you in contact with Rita or we'll do something. We'll sort something out anyway. All right, so if somebody's willing to do that in the area, all right. Ah, you said, great, look at yous already. I'd be willing to pay for the ramp. If you can get it, anyone to do it to somebody. There you go, look, that's seen. But look, I thank you very much for that. But I'm hoping that somebody listening, some building company listener, some builder or somebody odd job man listening will do it for her for nothing. Don't charge her now, Jesus. Anyway, if anybody can do it, please contact us 087-188-0008. Now, I'm going to move on because it's actually upsetting, isn't it, to listen to that? You know, it's a wonderful woman, 75 years of age. Living the happiest years of her life now, hopefully. Hopefully she's smiling and she's in good form. She's in good spirit, even though she lost her husband 8 years ago and she lost her son 2 years ago and that's all probably she had in life. But our carers come around to her. And they look after. Well done to all the carers. She name checked every single one of you, by the way. She even gave Dunn Stores a big shout out for looking after her, sending her stuff out to her every Friday. She even mentioned the woman who comes and helps to go for a walk. She gave everyone a mention. She obviously cares about a lot of people.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.